Taking a ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm your host, Dose Ward. And as always, ride with me is my good homie, Mr. Patrick Irvin. And remember, Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSING. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about the organization, the codes of conduct, how to become a member, how to donate to the organization, how to get involved in different activities and programs that they have and surveys. Also, if you hover your mouse over that More tab, bam, you get a drop-down box right in your face, right? Then you hover your mouse over that Learning Center tab, bam, you get another drop-down box right in your face, right? And then you got a plethora of resources that you can use to be able to enhance your knowledge base and your resource base all right here. Okay, in one space right here on www.pactsinc.org. So go ahead and visit that website and be cool. Be somebody in life. Hey, and remember, you can visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. I'm doing all the goddamn talking. I done said the website and forgot the website. Well, I'm saying the website and forgot the website, but I said it. Ain't that right, Pat? Shut up, Pat. But www.freedomtrainradio.com is our website. We can learn more about me, Pat, Enigma September, Shelby Davis, and everything that we have going on the Freedom Train Network, and we getting some new affiliations and all these things here, networking and connecting with new podcasters and all these things here. So expect some great and lovely things coming from the Freedom Train Network into 2020. Because you know what they say, when you got 2020, you can see straight. Ain't that right, Pat? Shut up, Pat. But no, I'm just playing. Go ahead, Pat. Talk, Pat.
Word.
Yeah. Hey. But we got a guest on. We starting the year off right. We got a guest on. We got a family member on the podcast. It's gonna ride out with us today, Professor Carl Tone Jones. What's going on, PC?
Hey, what's going on, brother? I'm trying to ride the wave in 2020.
Hey man, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. It's the 2020. You heard me?
Hey man, what's going on, brother?
You did hear me, Pat. You better stop trying to be politically correct. You heard me, cuz. Don't make me get gangsta on you.
Word.
Hey, man, what y'all brothers do for New Year's? Nothing. I guess that's a big nothing, huh?
Nah, we letting PC go first.
So.
Well, hang out with family. And, you know, I tried to do some Ubering. Because, you know, being a person for the people don't pay the bills, so I was out there trying to do Uber. But,
right.
You know, but I stopped short because I just, you know, the money don't be worth what you have to deal with at the time, especially when the later it gets, you know, alcohol and white folk in the back of my car just don't mix. So,
Yeah. Yeah, I get you, my brother.
I tried.
What about you, Pat?
I tried to see a lady about a cat, but it didn't come through. So,
I tried to do the same thing, but my meaning probably a lot different than yours.
Nah, it's probably the same.
So, you were trying to hunch too?
Yeah,
I was trying to hunch. I always be trying to hunch, but that's just me. But Now I start selling stuff on eBay, man. So I got me a sale too, man. So I got
eBay sales. I've been thinking about doing that.
Man, I got $138.
Word?
100% profit. 100% profit.
What did you sell? You are a reseller, or are you selling your own like real shit from your own? Self?
No, it's something that I had like My homeboy played saxophone in middle school, and for some reason, I ended up with his saxophone, and he didn't give a shit about it no more. So I've had a saxophone like over 10 years, and so I decided to give eBay a try. I downloaded the app on my phone, took pictures of it, and then next thing you know, the bidding started at like $102. One person bid it. And then told at the end of it, I had like 12 bids, and then the highest was like $135, and it's something that I've had in my possession for a while. So now I've identified like three more things around here that I don't really use, that just in the way that I can sell. So yeah, I'm finna start getting my eBay on, and then I'm finna start.
You said eBay. I thought you said Amazon.
No, eBay. But you could do the same thing on Amazon though. You could do the same thing. So I'm finna start going to these thrift stores and all these places, buying stuff and reselling it. Got to get that. Like PC said, man, the struggle don't pay. So
yeah, I've been thinking about being an Amazon reseller.
Do it. It's 2020, dog. Don't think about it. Do it, dog. That's what 2020 means. Ain't that right, PC?
I haven't figured out how to do it professionally.
Hey. Man, just go to Google it. Right. Google it, Pat.
I mean, I ain't mad shit.
Hey, man. But yeah, man, it's a new year, man. We appreciate everybody. This is our 157th show, right, Pat?
We're at 200 and something.
Yeah, no, yeah, 257. This is our 257th show. Yes. So, and we're saying that because we need to go, we're gonna make a big deal. So, everybody put your hands together for our 257th show. Yeah, 257. Hey, 257. Hey, 257, not 252, not 254. Not 256, but 257. Hey, 257. Hey, 257. Hey, we got to make a big deal. Because the reason why I'm making a half-ass big deal about this is because we were supposed to make a big deal about our 50th show, but we didn't know when we hit our 50th show. We supposed to do it on our 100th show. We're just supposed to do this a long time ago, but we forgot. Because we're never into counting shows. We're more so into doing the shows because we enjoy what we do. So we never really concentrated on counting our shows. But then the other day we were talking, it was like, how many shows have we done? And so we figured out and we counted up all of our shows that we've recorded as the Freedom Train Podcast Series, and it's 257 shows, including this one is 257. So we appreciate everybody who've been with us from the beginning. And those who haven't been with us from the beginning, we appreciate you for when you jumped on and got down with us because, you know, it's 257, man. So, Pat.
What up?
257. That's our word for the day. 257.
I'll be sure to not use it. Okay.
Man, just go with it, man. Stop trying to be technical, man. Why you always got to be technical, dog?
Hey, man, don't we got a show to do? Why are you?
Hey, man, so today we got two topics, though. We want to talk about the wildfires that's going on in Australia and also this U.S.-Iran war missile strike. Somebody died. All these things is going on. And so we're starting with the Australian wildfires. Then we're going to get into the war. So over the last couple of days, from I guess all of the reports and everything that we know from the news, there has been a whole bunch of wildfires or something, a string of wildfires or whatever that's happened in Australia, and from what I've seen, it's like destroying a lot of the wildlife, is destroying a lot of the habitats, is destroying a lot of everything that's going on. And either you or PC, one of you was saying it's creating its own ecosystem, or you just playing, or you being for real about that?
No, I was being serious. It's,
so say, repeat what you were saying.
So this thing I was reading, it says the wildfires that are ravaging parts of Australia and burning through vegetation under such extreme conditions, the blazes are generating enough heat to create their own weather systems, including fire-generated thunderstorms, thunder and lightning, and fire tornadoes.
Shit. So, yeah. Before we get deep into it, just with that aspect of the heat of the fire being able to create its own weather system, have either of you ever heard of something like this surrounding any type of natural disasters, or read about it, or kind of been it happened that you were aware of when you was alive or something like that?
Yeah, actually. And it happens quite frequently here in America whenever you have a California wildfire. And often you'll have lightning strikes and things generated because of the intense, saturation of heat in the atmosphere. And, especially when it comes in context with the clouds and so forth, you create a dynamic, and then creating that dynamic, it causes, static electricity.
Okay.
And that's all you need. Now, in terms of weather systems, it depends on, the stratosphere. I don't want to get too technically, too scientific about it, but, there are mechanisms in place where, you can control the weather. I mean, listen, we already know that they have tech that can weaponize the weather. So if there's tech out there that can weaponize the weather, then you have to also understand that there are mechanisms in place with the weather that can force those things. I mean, volcanic eruptions often have those things, in place. And here you have thunderstorms and they affect the weather. So, you have those things in place.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything like that, not with a fire, but I do know I did a show on the Weather Channel that delved into how meteorologists make their predictions and talked a little bit about thermodynamics, which is what PC was alluding to, and basically that's the study of atmospheric conditions and how they move and how they adjust to various types of interference. And one of the biggest interference is temperature and pressure. So we always talk about pressure and we always talk about temperature as well, out in the oceans and stuff like that. Tornadoes and or hurricanes and various other things happen when you have warm water starting to interact with various different things. So from that standpoint, it makes sense that a fire could create weather systems, because the fire is manipulating both temperature and pressure. But it just seems like that's just a measure of how hot the flames are. Like, this ain't no, you burning trash in your backyard fire. Like, this is a different kind of heat.
Right. Nah, that makes sense, though. But, and that's why I want to kind of stop there and get some perspective about that, because as I'm also looking at this information that I've pulled up, it's saying, like, record-breaking temperatures and months of severe drought have fueled this series of massive bushfires. And so it's like the fires burning since September have intensified over the past week, with the number of towns evacuated. High temperatures and strong winds are forecast for the weekend, creating further risk. 20 people have so far been killed, including 3 volunteer firefighters and about 6 million hectares of bush. Huh?
Hectares?
There you go. Say that word again. That's right. That's your word. Hectares. I fucked that word up last time. Yeah, like hectare, I got you. But
I'm really wrong with you, man.
That's just how I'm going to remember it from now on. Whenever I see that, I just say Reptar, and I say Hector. Right. Or Hector, whatever. But anyway, forests and parks have been burned. So it's a whole bunch of things that have been burned. So I'm looking at a map of Australia where they're talking about evacuations. And it's mostly on the exterior, it's like the exterior, more so the exterior of Australia is being evacuated, in a little piece of Papua New Guinea is being evacuated over the times that bushfires have been happening. They're saying New South Wales has been worst affected. In the worst hit state, New South Wales, fire has affected more than 4 million hectares. There you go. I said it right that time. More 4 million hectares, destroying more than 1,300 houses and forcing thousands to seek shelter elsewhere. Hot, dry weather combined with prolonged drought and strong winds have created perfect conditions for the fire to spread rapidly. More than 130 fires were burning across the state on Friday in the bush, mountain forests, and national parks, with about 60 still not contained by firefighters and posing risk to lives. I saw something else. I don't know how true it was, but they were saying like billions of animals have been killed so far. So I don't know if that has been confirmed, but it was something on social media saying something about that.
Oh, well, if it was on social media, I don't believe it. But I did just, you know, BBC says, because I just Googled it when you said it, BBC says that 480 million animals have been killed. So, almost half a billion. That's still a lot of fucking animals.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
I wonder if they include, like, insects in that count, though. Because sometimes they include insects.
I don't think so.
It's crazy.
Oh, that's a good question, though.
I don't think they include.
Well, wait, now I'm reading the thing. It's the estimated. Oh, okay, so they're doing the estimate based on, so, but it doesn't include insects. So they said it's estimated that there is an average of 17.5 mammals, 20.7 birds, and 129.5 reptiles per hectare. And a hectare is 2.5 acres. I just wanted to throw that out there. I do it every time we say hectare. Cause it's
hectare.
Not a term in America. So with that, they did the math based on the amount of land that's been hit by the fires, and that's how they came up with 480 million mammals, birds, and reptiles have been affected by the fires. Not necessarily
killed,
but have been affected.
Okay.
So
that's crazy.
Yeah, that's still a lot of fucking. But that's a lot. That's a lot of fucking land, though. You're talking about shit.
Right.
Yeah, it's like it was like California fires. Hold my beer.
Right. Exactly. Like, look at this. Like California, Amazon. Watch this. I'm gonna be both of y'all combined.
You know, but it speaks to something, though, because there's been a lot of fires. And, you know, you got the Amazon fires. Like, have they stopped? Because I know what happens is the heat stops reporting.
No, they're supposed to still be going.
You know, and then you got this. You have fires, like, you know, Middle Africa was on fire. So, you know, you have fires all over the world, you know, in a very short span. And these are not typical fires. These are like biblical in proportion to what we're used to. And in fact, the only place we haven't had those types of fires at is in America, when you really think about it, you know, the North American continent over the last year or so. And which is just, it's just strange that where these fires are taking place, that there's, you know, melanated populations in these areas. Probably then you talk about Australia and then the bush, you know, that's where the majority of the original Australians reside. So, you know, I mean, I'm not saying there's foul play, but I'm just saying that this is some really interesting coincidences, you know, when you consider where these fires are taking place and who's being affected.
I do think it's interesting. And that's an interesting point you bring up about the locations, because the California fires are the worst they've been in a while, but they're not, you know, they're not like this. You know, they're not this intense. So it's interesting. Also interesting, too, though, is, you know, we've been having these series of shows on
a lot of natural disasters. Yeah.
Natural disasters and all that. Like, you know, we talked about Idai and what happened over there in Africa and how severe that storm was, and then the various fires that have taken place and all of these other things that are happening. Like, climate change is real, man. I'm not even getting into who's doing what or whether it's man-made or not, but what I am going to say is that the shit is changing. Like, it's happening. And stuff like this only drives it. You know, if this fire is burning hot enough to create its own weather systems,
that's letting you know something real
about everything being connected, then imagine what effect this new ecosystem or this new weather system developed by this extremely hot fire is going to have on the rest of the world's climate. It's really interesting when you can, and then even consider the amount of heat and the amount of greenhouse gases are being emitted into the atmosphere by a fire like this burning. So it's just in the Amazon, and, you know, so everything ties in. That is an interesting point about, you know, potentially malicious actors, because we do know that the Amazon wildfire was started by malicious actors. Now, I'm not saying they were malicious to black people or not, but we do know that those are started by people intentionally
trying to get a profit, right? Yeah. Trying to get, because they want that land to be able to cultivate it.
So everything about what's happening in terms of climate all over the world to me is interesting, and I hadn't thought about it from that angle, but that is an interesting angle that you bring up, and only because I know a lot of people would be like, well, why would they do that? This, that, and the third. Look,
it needs to be considered.
Right.
It needs to be considered.
Angle, because it's possible. Like, let's. For me, it's not about whether or not something makes sense. That does play a part in how much energy I give to something. But the very first step for me is it possible? And we know that it's possible. We know that there are people out there that would love to do that thing, those things. And we know that the technology is available to do those things. It's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I say, just consider all angles. Just consider every viewpoint that could go into the who, what, where, when, why, how of these bushfires, because we know, or all of these wildfires, all of these fires that lead to these massive spreads all over land that causes a lot of animals and humans to be displaced. We know. The environment is being fucked up on a regular basis. We know everything is warming up. We do know that. Like, PC and I were just talking before we started the show about, like, here in Tallahassee. Pat, you know, growing up here, of course, this is Florida, so sometimes we can have a hot Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a hot Christmas doesn't mean we're not going to have a winter.
That's true. Florida does have a winter. Now, more akin to rainy season, dry season, but it does get cold.
Right. Now, lately, we've been having years where we don't really have a winter. Like this year, it's early January, and yesterday it was 81 degrees. It's about 60, 70 degrees outside right now. It may be 55 right now, January. So we know from paying attention to our environment and how the temperatures have changed around us, that it's something not right. And so when you add the element of it getting hotter and drier with these fires in these areas, and I don't think you are crazy for suggesting that something nefarious happens in these fires. I don't think that's too far fetched, but I do think at this point, don't just settle on one idea, but kind of explore some of everything, because we know it could be some of anything that could start these fires, but just don't eliminate anything. But kind of looking at the damage of it, and also we are once again, even last week, even in our 2019 recap, we were mentioning the environment, mentioning shows that we had about the environment, interviews we had about the environment. So once again, we're still talking about the environment, because we're starting the year off with, you know, huge bushfires in Australia that's destroying a whole lot of things, displacing a lot of people. And so it's, I don't think at this point, I think you'll be foolish if you only go with one school of thought. That's where the foolishness come in. Go with one school of thought. It's instead of suggesting many, many different outcomes and many, many variables that could lead to where we are right now.
So,
anything else y'all gentlemen want to add to this subject before we get to this Iran missile strike war thingy?
I do wonder what effect PC mentioned the Aborigines in passing earlier. I do wonder what effect this fire would potentially have on them.
I think it'll worsen their conditions, if you ask me. I mean, because Aborigine people are already, Aborigine people have a history of being treated like flora and fauna. Like, that's the history of being treated like flora and fauna. So for them to be wiped out is nothing for those colonizers in those areas. So these fires, their situation wasn't ideal already. So with these fires, I imagine it getting worse and worse and worse, because, you know, they the black people over there. You know, when Australia gets sick, the Aborigines get the flu. Same thing over here, but it just, their flu is 100 times worse than the flu we going to get, because their conditions are worse than ours.
Yeah. We're colonizing the fact. And, you know, when you look at anything that happens, like you were saying, Pat, I think you alluded to this too, John, it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody doing or performing, you know, a malevolent act. This could literally be just, you know, a form of nature taking place. If the planet is getting hotter, you know, the whole solar system's getting hotter. But the people that's going to be affected the worst are the people that's going to be affected the worst. And the people, and when you look at the world right now, globally speaking, there's a big conversation about reparations taking place on every continent. You know, the people that are destined to be at the center of those conversations are the people who have been, you know, either enslaved, colonized, or, you know, displaced or replaced. And so it's just interesting, because I don't put anything past the powers that be. You know, I don't put anything past them. At the same time, you know, I look at, you know, like you said, I think, Joe, keep all things, all possibilities on the table until, you know, until you can prove them wrong. I don't believe in removing plausible theories until they become implausible. So with that said, you know, I think it's good for us to keep an eye on this particular situation, watching it develop, and then, you know, investigate it, and then draw a conclusion from that after we study it, you know. One good thing I like about both of you brothers is y'all don't rush to judgment, which is a problem for a lot of us smart black people nowadays. So you know, just hang back and the truth will reveal itself eventually. You just got to be diligent.
Yeah. You can't be out here looking like a fool, man. You know, that's one thing I've always not wanted to, I mean, you know, try to make sure I don't do. I'm just out here, matter of fact, on something that I haven't really looked at. I'm just going off of belief, and then the whole truth come about it, and I'm wrong, and now I'm looking like a fool based off some kind of blind allegiance. So, can't do it, won't do it. That's what Mike Singletary told them people. Can't do it. So, Iran, U.S., Pat.
What up?
What the hell happened? How did we get here, man? So, but somebody dead. There was some missile strikes, all these things. Trump still being a bitch. Kind of, are you familiar with this whole thing and everything?
I'm familiar with it. I'm not okay. Going to give a full-on lessons from the screen on it.
Nah, I ain't saying get no lessons, but I'm just saying kind of bring us up to speed on where we at with this.
So, basically, Trump has been beefing with Iran since he came into power. And then when he pulled us out of the nuclear deal, kind of escalated things, although I think that was less to do with Iran and more to do with wanting to undo everything that Obama did. The nuclear deal was an easy thing to undo because it didn't have any congressional backing, so he could undo that just by saying, all right, it's done. But, so there's been a series of events, escalations. Iran has been basically trying to get the nuclear deal to be back on, but, you know, with the administration reinstating its maximum pressure campaign, which was designed, according to the architects of it in this administration, to bring Iran back to the bargaining table in terms of the development of a nuclear arsenal and trying to prevent Iran from going down that path. So, you know, we continue forward with a series of escalating events. Some oil tankers, U.S. drone got shot down, oil tankers got captured, various other things were happening. Missile strikes and various other threats were being made. And then, you know, all of a sudden, we wind up here where the second in command, the second most powerful person in Iran, the general, the chief of the Iranian military, is on a tour or a meeting or doing something in Iraq. And while he's in Iraq, he gets hit with a drone strike that kills him and four members, including the deputy commander of the Iraqi military.
Right.
So, it's a real delicate situation. Well, it was before all this happened. Now it's just fucking tits up, to use a phrase that white men use frequently. now it's just all the way, like, fucked up because Iraq is like, you just violated our national sovereignty by launching a drone strike in our country.
Right.
Another country's military official and killed two of our military members as well. But then also you had this angle where in the 1970s, I believe it was, an executive order was passed that declared that the United States would not be involved in any high-level political assassinations. And this looks like a high-level political assassination. But on the other end, the United States is saying, or the administration is saying, is not an assassination because this particular figure was a terrorist. And I believe it was in 2011 or maybe it was 2015. In one of those years, the United States declared the Iranian military as a terrorist organization, which is just crazy that you could declare an entire branch of a government is a terrorist organization. Obviously, Iran responded by doing the exact same thing to the U.S. and labeling the U.S. military as a terrorist organization. But anyways, that's how they're getting out of that assassination thing by saying this guy was a known terrorist. He had been involved in the deaths of hundreds of Americans. And granted, these aren't the deaths of hundreds of Americans in America. These are the deaths of hundreds of American soldiers and American civilian personnel working in the Middle East. So,
right. So, but just real quick, just some kind of real one perspective. So they're calling this guy a terrorist because they're fighting the Americans that's in their country, fighting them for their stuff.
Yeah, so it gets to be complicated there, too, because one of the reasons why this guy was left alone, one reason was that all of the other presidents, going back to George Bush, because, like, it's no secret, this guy wasn't hiding. You know, he was, like, out in the open. But he was also active in the fight against ISIS. And he was active in a fight against other people that had actually brought in, brought, according to the U.S. official narrative, had brought in harm to Americans on American soil. He was fighting against them. And they also saw the potential political impact fallout from killing him. So other presidents left this alone. But he was, it was well known that he did not like America. He didn't like Americans in the Middle East at all. And he had organized a lot of the quote-unquote terrorist organizations into a organized effort that was combating the American presence, albeit more politically than anything. They were still actively combating the military presence. So the Trump administration is saying that they had intelligence that suggested that this guy was in the process of planning another event that would have killed hundreds of American soldiers. And so they took him out to save American soldiers' lives. Now, the fallout from that is the Iraqi government has since passed a vote. It's not official yet, but they passed a vote. The legislation has passed a vote saying that they want all American troops, of which there are 5,200 present in Iraq, to be expelled from the country. Now, if that happens, you open Iraq back up to Islamic State leadership, the very same leadership that we don't want to have power in that area. The second fallout is all of these groups have now come together and they've spoken with one voice and said that military officials, our U.S. officials and personnel anywhere in range are not safe. So the argument that we're going to stop the deaths of hundreds of lives by killing the leader of an organization, that's already been blown out of the window because they basically said,
we're finna kill bitches. Because what it did is it opened it up. Because come on, I don't give a damn what country you from. Use common sense. All right, so you got A, B, and C, or A and B. A don't like B, B don't like A. A say, I'm going to go, A has enough power to for its military to occupy space in B's country. So A can go in B's country and do stuff whenever they want to do, and A does that. So over the years, over the decades, relationships grow sour because A being an asshole. So A comes up one day and say, hey, B got these people in place that we know pretty much not gonna do what we need them to do. So let's brand them as terrorists. Cause let's just be real. They found people who were bucking the system, branded them as terrorists, and found a way to take them out so they can get what they want. Let's just be real. We know the deal. We know the game. That's basically what happened. That's where we are. But in doing so, you made it more America's more vulnerable to international attacks and things like that. That's what we're talking about earlier, like international attacks, international travel. So Americans now have to be, and all black people, especially why it's relevant for black people, because especially black people, we're on our traveling kick now, and we want to travel across the world, but we have to be careful now, because no matter how much we don't participate and this white supremacy stuff, or no matter how much we don't really benefit from it, we're still branded as Americans, and we represent America. And if they see us over there, we will be looked at as Americans, and you too will be vulnerable. You too will be a target. So it comes back to make it unsafe for a lot of people, whether it's abroad or domestic, but especially abroad when you're traveling and doing certain things. We have to really think about this, what's going on now, because, you know, what a lot of people are branding it potential World War III. Now, with that being said, and that can go to either Pat or PC, do either of you think we're at the World War III point now with this?
I thought we were at World War III last year with the incidents when you started having the situation with the Iraqi border, Syria, and Iran, and then you started implementing the different countries started aligning themselves along those lines. You had you have Russia, and you had China aligning themselves with, you know, opposed to so-called American interests in that particular region. That's when you had the precepts for war. The fact that, you know, you have a general who was, you know, assassinated, that, you know, that circumvents any, because there's no going back from this. And like you just stated, you know, across Islamic nations, you know, they pretty much stayed on site.
Yeah.
They come to American dignitaries and diplomats now. You have American diplomats in all those places. You have American embassies in all those countries that you just jeopardized by, you know, acting on this. And the wild part about all of this, the probably the worst part, all of this will be the impact that black people will face because, you know, we don't take things seriously. I think we were just talking about that before.
Yeah.
And, you know,
there's all kind of memes and videos and things making jokes about people being in Iran war. And because there was something about that was, I don't know who called for it because I haven't really looked into it, but they were saying that all of Trump's biggest supporters should be the first ones who are up for the Iranian war. So you send a lot of jokes about that. Yeah, so you send a lot of jokes around that. But it's like, damn, black people, like, making a joke out of everything can't be our only fallback all the time. Like, at some point, we got to be serious about some shit and really look at how this affects us.
Yeah, and then there's another aspect of this, too. You know, I'm not sure if y'all remember General Wesley Clark, who was a five-star general, still is a five-star general, if I'm not mistaken, in the United States military, stated that, you know, there were war plans that were brought to him over 10 years ago. They talked about, you know, engaging in seven different wars in 5 years. You know, now it's longer than 5 years, but the countries that he mentioned, you know, are now all in play, and it was all in the Middle East. And it was all about, you know, American imperialism expansion. And, you know, you take those into considerations with Zbigniew Brzezinski's grand chessboard, and he writes and identifies that always being at a constant war with Russia. And, yeah, and if you're at a war with Russia, you don't attack Russia directly.
Right.
You engage
PC,
allies and neighbors. Yes, sir.
My bad. Could you repeat that name again? Because I know what you're talking about, but just for clarity, repeat the name and the literature that this person has.
Oh, Zbigniew Brzezinski. Zbigniew Brzezinski, who, you know, is a dignitary. You know, he's one of the people who you consider neocon. You know, never elected, but always involved in politics.
Right.
And is on some form of some advisory board. Serves president in this country for the last 30 years. And him, along with Kissinger, are considered two of the most powerful men behind the scenes when it comes to, you know, American diplomacy and so forth, and whether it's national or international. And his book is called The Grand Chessboard.
Okay.
And, you know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, when you read about it, it talks about military strategy. It talks about what ifs, the what ifs. But basically, it spells out, you know, expansion of American imperialism throughout the Middle East and even up towards, you know, Eurasia, as we like to refer to.
Right.
So it's just a very interesting perspective when you look at what's happening and then different ways to know that these dignitaries can make it play out. They can create policy. They can create terminology. They can create a whole narrative that justifies them getting there. But the bottom line is, it's like, yo, you already had a plan to get there. How long ago? You know? And it just seems like every time you turn around, we get closer and closer. And, you know, just one final point. And, you know, this is where the Obama administration really hurts, you know, America as a whole. Because there was a lot of things that Obama did, President Obama did, on his watch, such as the having a kill list and drone strikes and things of that nature. And because he was able to do so many of those things and people turned a blind eye to it, diplomacy was, you know, it's like when somebody looks at you and says, well, wow, you didn't, Obama did the same thing, and this was your stance on that, you know. You know what I'm saying? So it's a crazy way to be. You know, it's funny to try to tell people to take the emotion out of your decisions and look at the logic, and does it measure up? And a lot of people are too tied in emotionally to remove themselves from the, you know, to get a logical viewpoint.
I think that's one of the greatest blows that we've taken or setbacks from the Obama administration is the emotional connection that black people have with Obama. So when it comes to the truths about things that have happened that have led up to where we are today or certain events, black people are so emotionally invested in Obama is they don't want to hear the truth or accept the truth or certain things like that. But it's like, well, no, you got to really look at where we are and really look at the evidence of things like that. Like you said, having that kill list and things kind of just helps set stage, not saying they're the reason it happened, but pieces of the puzzle were put together for these things to happen. Even killing Gaddafi and all these other people, like what Trump did is no different than what Obama did with Gaddafi, and that's one of the things that you just said, though, just talking about, is the similarities and things that all of these presidents are doing. So let's not look at Obama as the one who's different, but these things happen in all of these things. But it comes down to world domination, though. Like, what empires are not trying to dominate the world? So far, England, the UK, Britain has done the best, and America wants to top them. That's what this is all about. Every civilization or empire that expanded or became dominant did it by dominating others. It's only one way to dominate the world, to rule the world, and that's to be on top. That's to be superior to everybody else. So that's really, at the end of the day, that's what this is all about. All these countries are vying. This whole thing about race is about world domination and who can be first.
Well, I think one of the things is, like, Obama did create, to my knowledge, he did create the kill list. I believe it was actually known as, it wasn't called the kill list. It was called some sort of matrix. Matter of fact, I got Google. Hold on a second. All right. Yep. Quick Google search. It was actually called the disposition matrix. And that's one of the things he did do. So that's one of, because I've heard that argument where people will say, well, he, you know, Obama and his kill list, and they'll be like, well, every president had a kill list. No, that's Obama. That, like, I'm not saying every president didn't have a list of people they wanted to go after, But an official, like, kill list, that was Obama. And he was known as the drone president. So, you know,
right.
I agree. You know, there were drone strikes all over the place. The one positive you could take from that was that he would much rather take out an enemy with an unmanned drone strike than to put military troops, to put American lives in harm's way. You know, but that doesn't take away from the fact that he was striking the shit out of a lot of targets. Both military. I think most times it was intended to be military, but let's not kid ourselves in thinking that there wasn't a lot of collateral damage and a lot of missed strikes and a lot of innocent bystanders and civilians getting caught up in those strikes as well. So I do think that I go back to what PC said in regards to your other question. I do think World War III has started. And one could argue that World War III actually happened in the 90s. There are a lot of people that would make that case, and they would say that we're looking at World War IV right now. I just think wars look different now than they did back in the World War I, World War II days. So
yeah.
People are hesitant to look at things that way. But if
right.
you look at, like PC pointed out, if you look at what happened with Russia and China going into the Syria situation, you look at, you know, we were supporting the Kurds at that point while Russia and China were supporting the Syrian government, and how everything was lining up there with Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, and a number, Turkey, and a number of other countries all getting involved in that. Of course, the U.S. pulled out when we abandoned our Kurdish allies, who have since run into the arms of Russia, which gives Russia dominant influence over the entirety of the Middle East at this point, not America. One could also make the case that this strike was an attempt at America to kind of let people know we're still the big dog on campus, we still run shit. A statement that was, quite frankly, desperately needed after what happened in Syria if we still wanted to be involved in Middle Eastern affairs. And it's not just what happened in Syria, but also you look at what happened when Trump came in and he moved the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, formally recognizing
right.
Israel and basically telling the Palestinians, fuck y'all. But still trying
right.
to say, let's come together. There's just been a lot going on in the Middle East over the last 4 years, roughly. And I would agree with PC. I think we are looking at another world war. Now, whether you want to label this 3 or 4 is depending on how you look at history. But the UK has troops. Every major power has troops in the Middle East fighting. That is essentially
yeah.
a world war. It doesn't get any more straightforward than that. So,
now,
go ahead.
Now, but I think an essential thing that you said in this and what you were just talking about is the look of wars. Because when we were young and they were teaching us about World War I and World War II, the country felt the war because it was a physical, physical presence of people being moved and going to war, drafts and all these things here. And now you don't have drafts. You don't have we can't feel the depletion of war. We can't feel the war like they did back in the days. And so that's why the perception of the war is different. All these things, because a full on war could be happening. And most people don't even know that a full-on war is happening. And people also have to remember, a international wars still haven't been fought on American soil. So Americans are spoiled when it comes to war because we've never really had to feel the wars like other countries have. So that goes into that whole perception. You just made me think about that when you're saying wars are fought differently, and that's true, but the way Americans experience war is differently as well. It's different now than it used to be in the past.
Yeah. I mean, no other way about it. It's just different. but we are most definitely at war, and we have been at war. And it's the same thing with the black community dealing with white supremacy. We're at war there too, whether you want to admit it or not. And it's not to change the subject or go off into another tangent, but you know, you made a good point when you talked about America, black people being on their travel kick. Because it's true, and the problem I have is not all black people, like, gotta say that, because then they'll discredit everything you just said. But there are a lot of you black folk that are traveling all around the country and not paying attention to the political atmosphere of the country you're going into. Not paying attention to the social and cultural atmosphere of the country that you're going into, and then you find yourself in a bad situation. We had a number of stories and reports from last year of black people going on vacation and getting fucked up because they went to a place that they shouldn't have fucking went. And it's just like, just pay attention to the news a little bit of the area that you're going into. And I can guarantee you there's a black person somewhere that had, right before all of this popped off, had booked tickets to go see something somewhere in the Middle East, whether it's some Christian trip or some Muslim trip.
Well, it's like, you know, a lot of people going to Dubai. Right. A lot of bad people. And Dubai may not be Iraq and Iran, but Dubai is still close enough.
Well, I mean, you're talking about Jerusalem, Damascus, Beirut, Cairo, all of these cities that we like to visit, they're all in that area. They're all in that same lane. Baghdad, Tehran, you know, you go down the line. They're all in the same sphere of turmoil in the Middle East. And we love to try to go over the places, even just to prove it's not as bad as they say it is. That's a dumb thing to try to prove.
Yeah.
So it is what it is on that note. But that, I feel like that's a great point, because even right now, you know, there's video and things of, at this point, the legislators in Iran chanting death to America. Now the legislators are chanting it. You know what I'm saying? Like, this ain't just the people in the street. These are the people that make laws for the country of Iran chanting death to America.
We black people, we need to put together like a mixtape of white people doing fucked up shit to us and send it to people. And we're like, look, we're not down with them. We will help you motherfuckers. What we need to do.
But
so.
And to make one final point real quick, just like Joe said, you know, when you mentioned Dubai, which is in the United Arab Emirates, that's right across the Gulf of Oman from Iran.
It's close enough.
Iran is right across the water from Dubai, literally right across the water. The Persian Gulf is right there, and then it shifts into the Gulf of Oman. Dubai is right there. Iran is right on the other side of that water. So you ain't out of harm's reach wanting to be like DJ Khaled and ride a camel through the desert.
Yeah. I mean, because there, and I said Dubai specifically because there are a lot of black people in America, from America, going to Dubai specifically. So it's right now may not be the time for a lot of the international travel that you want to do. Like Pat said, check the political climate, but be smart about what you're doing, because there's no sense of you going over and getting fucked up behind you trying to be goddamn Indiana Jones or some shit.
Nah, Joe, we need that. We need them to go over there and get fucked up. They don't listen to us. Fuck it. You know, so we can just play this show right after somebody get fucked up. I warned you. You know?
Because you know
we are the hardest headed, I needed to be, I told you so, ass people in the world. You know? We're the easiest targets. I mean, because I remember, like, it was a year ago, they said, don't go to Cancun. People partying, living their best life, getting fucked up in Cancun. You know what I mean?
Dominican Republic.
You know, you're talking about places that's been in civil war for the last 30, 40 years. Mexico's been in civil war for the last 40 years. They still don't have a stable government. But, you know, not just there, but I mean anywhere. And you bring up, y'all bring up a good point with Dubai, because if I was an Iranian, and if I was part of their, you know, military industrial complex, that's one of the first places I would look.
Right.
To get even.
Right. You know, some Americans in Dubai.
You know, so chances are some of them got some bread. You know.
Yeah. And, so, yeah.
I mean, yeah. No, let them get fucked up, man. Let them get fucked up, because, you know, apparently, you know, look at all the hard lessons we've gotten over the years. Trayvon Martin. Still don't try, you know, going back to Trayvon Martin, going to all the other different cases, you know, police brutality, all the other things, and you still see black people, you know, not responding like a people who should have an understanding that, you know, this world is not a safe place for us. And that we should be on
right.
guard, you know.
Right.
You know, we're not responding as the people that have our antennas up. We're still aloof. We're still, you know, we still love to live like and use it through terms saying ignorance is bliss. Then, you know, let someone. I mean, eventually, what's going to happen is the alarm is going to go off and it's going to wake up some of us, or some of us are going to die in our sleep. But you know, the incident has to happen because. Warning people and using historical relevance and precedent as you know, evidence to what is coming down the pike is just not good enough for us. We need to see some motherfuckers blown up or some shit. We need to see somebody shredded and torn to pieces. We need to see somebody, you know, tied to the back of an SUV and then driven down the dirt road. You know, we need to see that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate, though. That's unfortunate because it shouldn't have to be that extreme for us to kind of really get the climate. Like for my own The Souls of Giants platform, you know, I do my profiles, and not too long ago I did a profile on a guy named Benny Wender. He represents West Papua and the Papua New Guinea area. And reading his story, I did a story on him. One lady from Australia, it's either pronounced Truganini or Truganini, but I said Truganini. But I've done stories on indigenous people around the world, black people around the world. And when we say black, we don't mean African American. We mean people whose skin got the copper skin tone, got their blackness, got their African blackness all around the world. Black people have been persecuted, are still being persecuted, are being killed, lynched, eliminated, executed, everything around the world. It's real out here. So remember, when wars happen, things to us get worse around the world, like and especially in the places where wars are happening. But when things get bad, it get real, real bad for black people around the world. So we just, this is not telling anybody you can't live your life. It's just saying be mindful about what you're doing, especially in times like this, because it makes us a lot more vulnerable to the rest of the world. And remember, we have no allies. Just because you know a couple people who are nice that represent this specific group of people doesn't mean that specific group of people represent or will align themselves with you or help you or care about you. So know the difference between individuals who are aligning themselves with you and the group as an ally.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say you can't live your life not the way you want to, because, and all the reason I'm going to say that is because a lot of people think they should be free to live their life with no consequences and no repercussions. Look, let's face it, you take your ass.
Well, you're stupid if you think that.
Yeah, you take your ass over to a country in the middle of a civil war or having some major domestic problems and find yourself with a lump on your head in a dark room. Hey, life don't, you know, like ignorance is bliss, but that bubble is very easily penetrated by reality. And
it's getting waterboarded.
Yeah, look, so you people keep playing these games if they want to. We all made fun of the boy who went over to North Korea and took from the hotel room.
Yeah.
And then they ended up in prison his ass. He came home and then died 3 months after he came home. You know, everybody was making fun of him when the shit happened. But the shit is happening to black people, too. We just ain't getting no news coverage about it. Not like he did, anyways. Because we do.
So you're not talking about the ball brother, are you?
No, I'm not talking about the ball brother because ain't nothing happened to him. You know, he got to come home. His celebrity saved him.
Now say this. What happened to the brother again?
Oh no, I'm talking about the white boy. You know, we all made fun of the white boy who went over to North Korea. He stole something.
Okay.
From North Korea, from a hotel. And then they ended up putting his ass in prison for 3 years. They finally, through politics, got him brought home. But he died 3 months after he came, because he came home in a coma. And he died 3 months after he got home. But everybody was talking about why the hell would he go to North Korea anyways. But then when we heard the story about the black couple that was on honeymoon in one of the Latin American countries, I think it was Mexico or it was somewhere in Central America, and he got shot defending his wife from a mugger, and everybody was like, this dude is a hero. Why you ain't ask the same question? The fuck is your ass doing in the Central American country with all of that shit going on down there in Central America? There was also stories that I read last year, black people having various other negative things, and these were a couple of stories of black people having negative things happening to them in various other places, where for me it's like, why the fuck are you there? You know, so these things happen, they just don't get the same news coverage that the boy from North Korea got for being white, and the ball boy got for being a celebrity. Now imagine if the ball boy had did what he did, but he was not a celebrity. His ass would still be in China, prison, getting whatever wushu fucked in the ass they gonna give him.
Yep, that's true. That is true.
So, you know, like, you can't live your life the way you want to live it.
Yeah, stop it. LaVar Ball, son. Jello, whatever, the one.
Yeah.
So, I think that's one of the things. Go ahead, PC. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. No, I was just agreeing with you, you know, because we do have an ambivalence for, you know, common sense. You know, walking into, you know, dangerous places or putting ourselves in bad predicaments. And, you know, those things have to be measured after a while because, you know, there's a difference between wanting to be saved and making and putting yourself in a position where you need to be rescued. And I'm all about, you know, saving our people, but I ain't about rescuing nobody, especially if you purposefully. You've been warned and you purposefully put yourself in that predicament. Because now I got to jeopardize my life and whoever else's life to save yours when the situation is totally unnecessary. And, you know, it just creates more havoc because, you know, for some reason, people don't want to learn that lesson, you know. Live, love, and laugh. They don't want to, you know, there's no responsibility, you know, no accountability anymore in any of our decisions until there's a reckoning. And then once there's a reckoning, then all of a sudden, you know, we want to speak to the morality and the character. The moral thing to do from the jump would have been to make the decision to not put in harm's way because you wanted to be an asshole. So, mm-hmm. I get it.
mm-hmm. It's about being aware of everything that's going on around us as black people in America in these particular times. Because think about the two topics that we're talking about, how indigenous or black people in Australia are being affected by wildfires, and then how this conflict between Iran, Iraq, the United States, and just this World War III, World War IV concept, how that affects black people in America and in those environments as well. Because there's black people over there too. Even though they don't show them, there's black people over there too. So we have to think about how that affects all of us throughout the diaspora and the different things that we do. Regular individualism is going to exist. I try my best not to focus on those people, but regular individualism is going to exist. So those who down, stay down and be down. Those who not, hey man, do you. Just don't look for everybody else to help you when you in trouble. Because that's the trade-off of regular individualism. So. Go ahead.
The other component of all of this is black people are overrepresented in the military because we see it as a way out. You know, we see it as basically a way to escape whatever situations or problems we have in the world. And it's been marketed to us that way. The military can reshape you. It can change your life. You could become whatever you wanted to be. You've seen those commercials. And they do offer a stable paycheck. I will say that. You know, that's one of the only positive things you'll hear me say about the military. They offer a very stable paycheck. And even that's up for debate with all of the goddamn government shutdowns that's been happening. But at the end of the day, I take concern in any military action because over the last 4 months, there's been 14,000 troops sent to the Middle East. More than 12% of that is black people, which means that we're overrepresented in that because black people are also more likely to end up in combat roles.
Right. You know, so, front line.
Right. So I'm looking at it from that perspective as well, where all of the young kids, the black kids that are going to be sent over overseas to be engaged in this situation. It's just there's a lot to consider, not only, you know, even in the direct combat roles, but the military support roles, the contractor roles, all of the other roles and all of those other people. And then what sort of technology is going to be developed in order to quell these situations that are happening over there? Because these are largely fights that are happening in urban environments. Well, guess where our warfare, where our fights with white supremacy happens? In urban environments. So yeah. What sort of skills, technologies, and other sorts of applications are they going to pick up, theories and practices, are they going to pick up, utilize over there, and then bring back home and utilize here? And I think we're beyond the point now of saying, well, military application, it could never happen on American soil. Yeah, we're way beyond that point now. Like, that's not even a valid excuse.
The police being militarized is right there.
Exactly. It's not even a valid excuse no more. 20, 25 years ago, maybe. Nowadays, it's been like right in your face for the last 10, 15 years.
Right.
So that's the other angle that I'm looking at it from, is that this is not just political get out and vote, whatever, whatever rhetoric. This is like real world applications, real world practicality. This shit is going to affect you at some point in some way.
Straight up. And we just got to be cognizant of that, not get caught sleeping. The worst thing we could do is to get caught sleeping when we are seeing what's going on. Let's make sure we're not too caught up into entertainment that we forget what's going on in the real world. Hey, PC, man, go ahead and give the people a shout out. I mean, not a shout out, but give the people information about your movie, your radio show that you do, and just so people can keep up with you and everything that you got going on and that can support you.
Oh, yeah, whatever closing argument you want to make on the discussion.
Oh, that too. Okay. All right. Well, let me get the closeout information first. Let me close the discussion part out. My piece of it anyway. First of all, thank you, brothers, for allowing me to get a deluxe seat on the Freedom Train. It's always a pleasure riding with you, brothers. But one of the things that I take away from this is, you know, when I see our reaction, and I'm talking about the community's reaction, at large to, you know, whether it's a national or international political or socioeconomic issue in the world that, you know, deals with multiple layers and complex and so forth and sophistication. When I see how we deal with it, it makes me a little unnerved because we don't take into consideration the seriousness of these things. And if it's just for just awareness sake, we need to be more diligent in learning about what's happening around us. Not always have an opinion, not to always want to be seen as the figurehead when it comes to these topics and discussions, but just to know. So, because Joe brought up something earlier that I think is very relevant, and is that most Americans, most especially here in America, have never seen combat, have seen, definitely have not seen it on this soil. The closest you come to it is 9/11, and some can speculate whether or not that was domestic or not. But the bottom line is there's a high, bit of thought, there's a level of thought that you will see something occur on this continent for the next war, because these other countries are tired of this shit happening in their backyard, and they're tired of not having, not having America on his back pocket, And so it's something to take into consideration, do we have disaster plans for our family? Do we have a place to meet up if the cell phone towers go down? Do we have a way to, do we have a survival strategy to put in place that we have to leave our houses in the middle of the night and seek refuge somewhere? Do we know how to purify water? Do we know how to make fire? These are some very, very, things that people typically learn when they go camping. But let's face it, most black families don't go camping. So we don't have those things in place. So we need to do that. And if we don't have those measures, then we need to get proactive, because the day the bomb drops is the day it's too late to do all the other preparation and all that other shit. So I'll just leave the people with that. And if anybody wants any information about the Independence Day Project, which does speak to being prepared now, it speaks to the war we're currently dealing with, white supremacy. They can reach me at blackindependence.org. That's blackindependence.org. And they can get a copy. Y'all better hurry up before I get to the website, because I got to change those prices. Right now, you get a bargain based on prices. Whether you want the digital copy of the DVD of the movie or you want the physical copy, get the bargain basement pocket, bargain basement price right now. So better hit it now while you can. All right. And thank you guys for letting me on the free.
Yeah, man. Ain't no thing. Hey, I just saw something where they were saying, don't know how true it is, but that Iran put an $80 million bounty on Trump ahead and threatening to attack the White House. And
where that
at? Of course, social media, man, Instagram. I ain't saying it's true, but now the thing about it is, they followed that up with the joke. With jokes, who y'all think they're gonna turn Trump into a watery cup of orange juice? Come on, man, we can't even be serious about something like that. It affects you too, black folk. I'm just saying, you might not like him, but that shit affects you either way. So,
yeah,
hey,
true. I'm familiar. I know somebody during the funeral of Soleimani, which was the general that was killed, called for a bounty to be put on Trump on state media, but didn't actually put it out there. It was just like there should be an $80 million bounty and the person that kills him should get $80 million. But it was at, I believe it was at the funeral.
Okay.
Now, if somebody actually followed that up with an actual $80 million, then I don't know nothing about that. But that doesn't take away from the point you're making, which is that it was followed up with a joke. It's some fuck shit.
Yeah. Oh, man, let's get our mind right, black folk. Let's get it right. Hey, man, so my birthday, January 14th, so let's not act like when January 14th come around, I didn't say and alert nobody. January 14th is my birthday. Holla at me, man. I accept gifts. I accept money. Ladies, I'm still single, so you know how that goes. You know what I'm saying? So January 14th.
Hell,
it's my birthday.
Man.
Don't act like you don't know.
Nah, go ahead, man.
I'm just saying, Pat, Don't let January 14th come and you act like you ain't know.
I can't help you. I can't even get the lady to come by my house about the cat. How am I supposed to send her to your house about the cat?
It ain't. See, though, I'm thinking about sex. I ain't always thinking about sex, Pat. It's other hours of the day when I'm not thinking about sex. Okay.
Okay. But that's what you want, ain't it?
So? Goddamn right. Hey, man. Make sure y'all check us out on our website, www.freethetrainradio.com. Merry New Year, actual calendar year, you know, real New Year into the spring. But yeah, Merry Calendar New Year. Happy January, Capricorn season, not that January 14th, my birthday. That's how it is, www.freethetrainradio.com. FreedomTrainRadio.com. You can learn more about us. We are all podcast platforms. Two fingers in the air like a player, man. We up out of here, and bye.